Well, we are in continuing in the Gospel of John, and the title of this sermon series is So That You May Believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. And as I mentioned before, this title actually comes from what John gives us his purpose for writing this book back in chapter 20, verse 31, where John actually does say that he's writing this so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, this morning, we're going to look at part two of a two-part series as we look together at the raising of Lazarus from the dead. 3 weeks ago, we looked at what led up to Lazarus' resurrection. And then 2 weeks ago, we skipped ahead to chapter 19 and looked at Jesus' triumphant entry. And then, of course, last week was Easter. So we looked at the resurrection of Jesus as found in chapter 20 of John. So today, we're going all the way back to chapter 11 to look again at part two of the resurrection of Lazarus. So now let's read together the passage. It's found in, again, John chapter 11. We're going to begin at verse 28 and go through verse 44. 28 through 44. Having said this, she went back and called her sister Mary, saying in private, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoled her, saw that Mary got up quickly, and went out. They followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to cry there. As soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked. "Lord," they told him, "come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Couldn't he who opened the blind man's eyes also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. "Remove the stone," Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, there is already a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe that you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Okay, so we're going to look at three observations. The first observation is Mary's response to Jesus. The second observation is Jesus' love and compassion is what really, you know, I could really sense that you guys resonated with. And then the third is we're going to look at the actual resurrection. But we're going to focus on four things that Jesus says during that point in time. Now, before we dive into our passage this morning, let me do just a quick review of what led up to our passage. Jesus is sent word that a close friend, Lazarus, is very sick. He tells disciples that the sickness won't end in death, but through it he would be glorified. And they wait 2 days before they go to Lazarus. And when they got there, Lazarus had already been dead for 4 days. And Martha comes out to meet him, and they have a discussion. And we see this discussion right before our passage this morning in verses 20 through 27. As soon as Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Yet even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Your brother will rise again, Jesus told her. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Okay, so now let's go ahead and start with Mary's response. And we see this in verses 28, 29, and 32. Now, in verses 28 and 29, we see, having said this, she went back, talking about Martha, and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and is calling for you. As soon as Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Notice first that Martha tells Mary privately that Jesus is looking for her. Now, some of the other translations translate this word privately as secretly. Another one says, called Mary aside from the mourners. And then another one, saying in a low voice. Now, remember, Jesus is hated by the religious leaders, and they're looking to kill him. And also remember that Bethany, where Jesus is at right now, is only 2 miles from Jerusalem. And a lot of those Pharisees know Lazarus and are there. Next, we see in verse 29 that Mary gets right up and goes quickly to see Jesus. Folks, can I encourage you to, when Jesus calls you to come to him, especially in times of sorrow, of suffering, don't delay. Come quickly to Jesus. Let me encourage you to, when Jesus calls you, to come to him right away. See, the sooner you go to him, the sooner you'll experience his comfort, his compassion, just as we see here this morning. Then we see in verse 32, as soon as Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and told him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What's the first thing that Mary does when she sees Jesus? Anyone? Yeah, she falls down at his feet. And it's interesting, whenever you see Mary of Bethany in the scriptures, she's at the feet of Jesus. Back in Luke 10, 39 through 42, she sits at Jesus' feet to listen and learn. And in our passage this morning, she's bringing her sorrow to Jesus' feet. And then later on in John 12, 3, she pours out her expensive gift on his feet. We see here Mary's humility. Talking about humility, James 4, 10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. And this is exactly what Mary did. And exactly what the Lord Jesus did for her. And when we humble ourselves before the Lord, that's what he'll do for us. He'll lift us up. Notice what Mary says to him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. In other words, Mary is saying, if you would have been here quicker, Jesus, Lazarus wouldn't have died because you could have healed him. Now, talking about God's timing, Vance Havner wrote this. Martha and Mary had earlier sent a hurry call to Jesus. They said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Instead of rushing to Bethany, our Lord stayed 2 days where he was. Have you felt like complaining when God didn't come specifically and speedily to your help in time of need? Like Mary said, if thou hast been here, this wouldn't have happened. But if Jesus had hurried to Bethany, he would have only have healed Lazarus. By waiting, he raised him from the dead. God's delay may bring a greater miracle than if he had answered our first prayer. Accept God's slow response. He is always on time. His time. We also see by what Mary said that things didn't work out as she expected. She had expected Jesus to come in time to heal Lazarus. One Christian writer tells of an experience that she had. As we exited the parking lot, my husband slowed the car to wait for a young woman riding her bike. When Tom nodded to indicate she should go first, she smiled, waved, and rode on. Moments later, the driver from a parked SUV threw his door open, knocking the young bicyclist to the pavement. Her legs bleeding, she cried as she examined her bent-up bike. Later, we reflected on the accident. If only we had made her wait. If only the driver had looked before opening the door. If only. This writer goes on to say, difficulties catch us up in a cycle of second-guessing ourselves. If only I had known my child was with teens who were drinking. If only we had found the cancer earlier. When unexpected trouble comes, we sometimes question the goodness of God. We may even feel the despair that Mary and Martha experienced when their brother died. Oh, but if Jesus had only come when he first found out that Lazarus was sick. Folks, like Mary and Martha, we don't always understand why things happen to us. But we can rest in the knowledge that God is working out his purposes for a greater good. In every circumstance, we can trust the wisdom of our faithful and loving God. Now, on a side note, as you look at both Mary and Martha, you see the stark differences in their personalities. Just as what we had seen in the past when Jesus was at their house for a meal. If you remember that, what was going on there. Martha was scurrying around doing all the preparation while Mary sat on the floor to listen to Jesus. Now, as it relates to our difference in personalities, one Bible commentator, I think, makes two helpful applications. The first one is, recognize that the Lord always deals with you according to your personality to teach you what you need to grow in every trial. All parents who have more than one child know that each child is different. You can't deal with them exactly the same way because they're wired differently. They learn differently. Jesus, the teacher, deals with his children the same way. He tutors us individually in a way that we can best learn the lessons. But we need to understand through prayer and the word, what does a teacher want me to learn through this trial? But then second application. We should be sensitive to the unique personalities of others, especially when we're trying to comfort them. We're trying to help them through difficult situations. Some people might need a word of encouragement, where others may just not want any words. They might not want you to speak, but just for you to be with them and cry with them. See, there is no one size fits all. So when it comes to helping others in their time of need, here's the key. Pray for sensitivity and pray for wisdom as you try to help. Okay, so we talked about our first observation, Mary's response. Now let's look at our second observation, Jesus' love and compassion. And we see this in verses 33, 35, 36, and 38. In verse 33, when Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who'd come with her crying, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. And then verse 35, Jesus wept. And then 36, so the Jews said, see how he loved him. And then down in 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Now first notice that in verse 33 and verse 38, Jesus is deeply moved. First, when he saw Mary and the Jews crying. But then also second, when the people said, if only Jesus would have come before he died and healed him. This Greek word translated here as deeply moved can have a variety of meanings, from anger to excitement. Given the context here, though, it probably relates to anger. Jesus would have been saying, I hate death. I hate what sin has done to my creation. I hate the distress to mankind. I hate to watch my children grieve so intensely. His anger was aroused against the evil powers of death, which caused so much distress to mankind, and which he was about to conquer here by a mighty display of divine power. And finally on the cross by his own death and resurrection. Then in verse 35 and 36, we see Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. So first we see here that Jesus wept. Now, this is the shortest verse in the English Bible, but there's actually one verse that's shorter in the Greek, and it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Anyone know that verse? Anyone remember it? Rejoice always. So, in the Greek, rejoice always consists of 15 letters, where Jesus wept here is 16 letters. You know, it's interesting. Paul puts these two verses together in Romans 12:15, where he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And we see here that Jesus was weeping with those who wept. Kurt DeHaan tells this story. My father, Richard DeHaan, had been battling a debilitating disease for many years. We asked the Lord to take him home. But as I knelt by his bed and watched him take that last breath, the tears I had choked back on other occasions came out like a flood. As my brothers and my mother hugged and prayed, the finality was overwhelming. That event helped me understand the significance of the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. God the Son wept. He knew the reality of heaven. He was the source of all hope of a future day of resurrection. And yet, Jesus cried. He loved his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus so much that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Jesus truly felt their heartache. And then this writer goes on to say, when someone we love dies, we struggle with a wide range of emotions. If a young person dies, we ask, why? When death comes after a long-term suffering, We struggle to understand why the Lord waited so long to bring relief. We begin to think of God as distant, untouched by our sorrow. We may question his wisdom or his goodness. Then we read, Jesus wept. We see that God is deeply touched by our anguish. When a painful situation invades your life, remember the Bible's shortest verse. Jesus shed tears too. Jesus knows the valley of sorrow and grief you are walking through. Folks, and Jesus hasn't changed. He weeps over what we weep over. He's there for you if you'll reach out to him. He wants to comfort you. He wants to help you through what you're going through. Don't push him away. Instead, lean into him. Then our last observation for this morning is the actual resurrection of Lazarus. And we see that in verses 39 through 44. Remove the stone, Jesus said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, Lord, there's already a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. After this, he shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unwrap him and let him go. So we see that Jesus says five things. First, he says to them, Remove the stone. Second, he tells Martha, If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And then third, he says, Father, and then prays. Fourth, he says, Lazarus, come out. And then last, he tells them to unwrap him and let him go. So first we see Jesus removes the stone. He first removes the obstacle that would have kept Lazarus in the tomb. Maybe some of us need to remove the obstacles that are keeping us in a tomb, keeping us bound in grave clothes. Obstacles like lust or greed, obstacles like pride or unforgiveness, and obstacles like lack of faith, and even maybe certain people. Folks, these can keep us locked up. So can I encourage you to take steps to remove these obstacles from your life? But then second, we see in verse 41 and 42 that Jesus prayed. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd standing here, I said this so that they may believe you sent me. This is an expectant, grateful prayer. Jesus is in such oneness with his Father that he knows his Father always hears him. How about us? Are our prayers expectant and grateful? Just as we see here with Jesus and Lazarus, God always hears our prayers, and he always answers them. But we do need to understand that sometimes his answer is yes, but then sometimes it is no or not now. No matter what the answer, know God loves you and that he has your best interest in mind. You might not understand the why when he says no or not now. But here is where faith comes in. faith that God is good. And folks, that is where our peace comes from. Jesus also gives us the purpose of his prayer, that people would believe that God the Father had sent him. This is all about people putting their faith in Jesus. Raising Lazarus from the dead was a sign to all that Jesus was who he said he was, the Messiah, the Son of God, sent by the Father to save us from our sins. You know, it's interesting to see that as it relates to those obstacles in our lives, in order to take that first step to remove obstacles in our lives, it's so important for us to ask God to help us, to show us what to do, and to give us the strength to do it. And then third, we see in verse 43, after he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." Okay, so why did he shout? Well, probably so there would be no doubt that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. See, everyone there heard him and then saw what happened. Again, as that relates to our lives, just as Lazarus came out when Jesus called him, we need to obey when the Lord tells us to come out from that place of death. And this could mean putting our faith in Jesus as our Savior from our sins. But it also means being obedient to doing what God has called us to do. Then last, in verse 44, we see that Jesus tells those standing by to unwrap him and let him go. The dead man came out bound hand and foot with linen strips and with his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and let him go." Notice that Lazarus didn't do it by himself. He needed others around him to help. And folks, that's the same with us. We need others to help us. Folks, we need Christian friends to encourage us and to hold us accountable. And this is one reason why being involved in a church is so very important. We need brothers and sisters to love us, to help us, to encourage us. So as we wrap up this morning, I'd like for us to again focus on what Jesus said, those five things. First, he said, remove the stone. Folks, can I encourage you to reflect on what has you in a dark tomb and identify those obstacles in your life? Second, we see that Jesus prays. Again, ask God to help you, to show you what to do, to give you strength to do it. Third, we see that Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." Next, it's being obedient to what Jesus tells you to do. And then last, Jesus says, "Unwrap him and let him go." Don't try to be the Lone Ranger. There's safety in numbers. Come to church. Join our ladies or men's Bible study. Be involved. So in closing this morning, can I ask everyone to bow your head and close your eyes as we just spend some time reflecting on our time together? This morning we saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. This clearly showed who Jesus was, the Messiah, the Son of God, our Savior from our sins. How about you? Have you come to a point in your life where you realize you're separated from God because of your sins and you see your need for Jesus? Through faith in him, you will receive forgiveness of all of your sins. Become one of God's children, receiving a new life now in Jesus and a future home in heaven. And if this is what you want, just tell God in the quietness of your heart, "God, I realize I'm separated from you because of my sin. I want to turn from them. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and rose again. And I give you my life." Then for those of us who are Jesus followers, has the Holy Spirit been speaking to you this morning? Do you need to remove obstacles that have been holding you back? Have you been obedient to what God has been telling you to do? Or have you been the Lone Ranger, not connected to church or other believers? Folks, whatever is going on in your life, can I encourage you to commit even now to doing what God's Holy Spirit is telling you to do? Amen.